joining us now, Steve Lansky of Big Mouth Sports. Steve, we're only a few games away from the end of the Stanley Cup, and this, you know, there's some great hockey to be played. We've already seen the first game, but I would like you to take us and the listener to the corner suite, the executive suite at a Rogers, if you will, and they are now planning, and they've been planning, for what is coming next in terms of their hockey coverage, which is their, you know, marquee vehicle. What are the questions they're asking, Steve, about, you know, okay, this is fine, this is okay, but we know we have to make change in some regard?
That's a good question, Dave. Yeah. First of all, I would have to qualify it by saying I think they've been in crisis mode for several years, maybe 4 years.
Wow.
Because when they started, and I don't know how many, I don't have it in front of me, how many years old this package is. It feels like they've been doing it about 7 years.
Yep.
So when they started, they hired an executive producer named Gord Cutler, and Gord was there about 2 years before they let him go. And when that happened, it started a bunch of intellectual and creative bleeding that continues today. I don't think I could say it any better than that. So I think they're in crisis mode in terms of, I don't think they're trying to create anything better and new anymore. I think they're just trying to mitigate, disaster is a strong word, but I'll say mitigate bad television moving forward. That's literally the nicest way I can say that.
So, Steve, let's say we insert you and you are unfireable into that arrangement. And we can take a local broadcast or the national one. But walk me through changes you would either make or would like to see, even if it's streamlined and you have less of a budget. What do you want it to look like as compared to what we see?
Well, okay, so I walk in and I'm omnipotent. Nobody can touch me. I'm in charge of absolutely everything.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Well, first off, I would need to know the budget. That would be one of the critical questions, because obviously I'd want a very high budget, but it doesn't have to be now. So the very first thing I do is I look at who's in the room, and let's say there's 100 people, and it's going to sound brutal, but I'm going to decide who's going to stay there and who's not going to stay there. And I'm going to say 20 people will stay, 80 will not. That would be my guesstimate right off the top. And then my next step is find one or two people in television who I respect, and this is really critical here, intellectually and creatively. And I didn't say anything about money because I don't care. I want this show to look good and feel good to the viewer and let the viewer enjoy what they're watching on a nonstop basis. So I can't, listen, even if I'm in charge of everything, I'm not stupid enough to think I can figure everything out on my own, and creative and clever enough that I can figure everything out on my own. So my next step after the call is to say, you, I want you to come in, and you're going to be 2, 3, and 4, and now we're going to move this forward as a team. Because anybody who thinks that they can do it alone is crazy.
The omnipotent Steve Lansky joining us here on Low Tide and Jameson on TSN 12. See, I like the sound of it, Steve. I got to be honest with you.
I was anointed. I wasn't self-anointed, Dave. I was
no,
like that.
I understand.
Noted, if that's okay.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Once, though, omnipotent.
Absolutely. Yeah. Run wild with power. Steve, you know, we're watching, again, game one, so small sample size, but this you know, lends itself to maybe one of the best Stanley Cup finals we've seen in a while. And, you know, I'm watching it, and because we're fully invested in hockey and the NHL here. But can you pull back 10,000 feet and go, is this going to be one of those series, one of these Stanley Cup finals that, you know, helps push the needle, move the needle south of the border?
Great question. I mean, I could lie to you, Dave, but yeah. I don't think the needle's ever going to move much south of Minnesota and Washington and New York State and Pennsylvania. Virginia. Barely even St. Louis. If St. Louis sucked for a while, that rink would be empty. That St. Louis arena was a hole for so many years with nobody in it. Granted, it was a terrible rink. I don't know if you were ever in it, but I really think there's a magic line in the United States. And I think the needle's going to move just based on how your team is. I mean, if the Vegas Golden Knights stink for 10 years, like, forget it. They're not going to fill that with people from Vegas. They just aren't emotionally invested like Canada is from the get-go, from day one. So, yeah, it'll move the needle. It'll move the needle in Tampa. But I think the needle is too heavy to move across the board. I think it can only flicker in certain spots. I know that sounds really negative, but I think it's a fact.
Do you see, and this is just riffing off what you just said, do you see like Florida and Carolina eventually heading north to Kansas City and Milwaukee or wherever? Is that, do you see that as being part of or do you think maybe they should cave in a few and go back to 24 teams or something like that?
Well, if I was omnipotent in that scenario, I think 24 teams is a real magic number. I really do. If I think too hard about the fact Quebec City doesn't have a team, it literally makes me sick to my stomach. And, you know, I get wanting to move all across North America. But to be very honest with you, I think the NHL would be smarter to be in Sweden and Finland and, you know, maybe a few other places, maybe Switzerland in Europe. I really think it would do the league better. And I know there's logistic difference in time differences and, you know, flights and all that stuff. I get that. But I honestly think big picture, if I was the NHL, I'd be looking at that. But as soon as they move the NHL head office out of Montreal to New York City, it started. The river picked up speed, and you're never turning it back. And then when you hired an NHL president, John Ziegler, who was American, and then you had another one who was American and another one who was American, you wouldn't think they'd be on Canada's side. And it's not really an us versus them, but it is when you look at where did the game start? Where did the game grow? Who intellectually owns the game? We're sitting in that country right now. And if you want to have an argument or a discussion about it, go ahead. But you're not going to present me with any information that says the United States is anything but a, you know, fair weather friend to the National Hockey League. I can't say it better than that.
Steve Lansky joining us here, Low Tide and Jameson on TSN 1260. This is a broad question, might require you to do a TED talk at some point, Steve. What league, and we've just come through a fantastic NBA Finals, you know, as you look around the landscape of North American sports, which of the leagues, the major four, if you want to go there, is presenting its product in the most modern, current, and appetizing way?
That's really funny. Because, you know, my first answer would be baseball,
yep,
except for the on-field product.
Oh, okay, yeah, okay.
It's completely contradictory to what I just said.
Right.
I love everything about Major League Baseball, except what happens between the first pitch and the last out. Other than Major League Baseball, for me, is great.
Yeah.
But the fact that they can't figure out, right? The fact that, I mean, you look at, Al knows this, I'm sure you do too, Dave. If you look at World Series games from the 1950s, some of them are like an hour and 52 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think that's too fast. But, holy cow, this is not a solution. We were standing at a counter the other day getting something here in Alberta because we moved here. And we were talking to the lady behind the counter, and she's like, I can go to a baseball game, but I can't watch on TV. It's just too boring. And I'm like, you know what? Like, that just totally defeats the purpose of what it should be.
Yeah.
So I love everything about baseball except the fact they can't figure out how to make the game timely and more engaging for viewers, either in person or on TV.
I think the NFL gets away with stuff because the game is perfectly suited to television, where you take a break every 11 seconds, and that's another chance to throw a commercial in there. But from the point of view of baseball, there's so many things irritate me now, including the mid-game interview with a guy who's talking, and it takes away from the call of the game. I'd like to get rid of that. But in terms of what the broadcasters bring, baseball is the one sport where you can have a leisurely chance And I think that means the play-by-play guy and the color guy have to be really compelling, like very, very compelling, even more compelling than in other sports.
Al, you nailed it. They have to be a perfect symbiotic relationship where they're talking to each other. Because to be very honest with you, you know, let's say Dan Shulman and Buck Martinez. If Dan and Buck are simpatico and they're talking back and forth and we're listening to them talk, they really don't even have to do that much play-by-play. They can just throw it in as ancillary comments as they're talking. And to the baseball viewer, that's great because you're basically watching and listening to two experts watching a baseball game. And that's really what it should be. They don't necessarily have to be telling you stuff. They can just be talking about things. And you know, Buck used to catch. So, you know, what do you think of that? Would you do that as a catcher? I love that stuff. I love that because if I turn off a broadcast, I mean, this, not everybody agrees with this, but if I turn off a broadcast and I didn't learn something, that's an F. That is an absolute F. And I'm not saying I'm a genius, but I've watched a lot of baseball. I remember the 1969 World Series. So I've watched a lot of baseball. But I should learn something every single broadcast. I should learn something on every one of your morning shows, you guys. If I'm a listener, I should learn at least one thing. Otherwise, that's an F. And I believe that in all broadcasting, but especially in baseball, because they have so much time and the leisure to do it.
Steve, I know I've learned already today on this show that Consumers Distributing has a powerful and enduring place in Al's memory. We've learned a lot this morning, and our listeners are inundating us with their experiences of going buying low-cost electronics.
I would never say what you should learn, Dave, just that you should learn. And I got to tell you, it's a good thing I'm sitting down.
Yeah.
I would have fallen right off my seat with the shock that Al had gotten into Consumers Distributing and the memories therein. I'm really glad I'm seated comfortable.
Steve, as always, we thank you. We will talk next week.
Take care, guys.
All right, Steve.
Steve Lansky, Big Mouth Sports.